something, and he talked about in John 1:23. He was really the book of John 1:23, really specific. Sometimes he's just so specific, and I was talking about with my husband this morning. We do our Bible study, and I was just talking about how when we start to minister with people, sometimes, especially if we're getting a lot of accolades for it, and people are, you know, being touched and moved and healed and all of that, we can get a bit caught up, and the enemy really wants that. He wants us to have pride. Pride is what he looks for. That's the roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And this is the scripture that God gave me. Okay? That's this. John 1:23. This is when John the Baptist is responding to the Pharisees, because they're saying, you know, who are you? And that we may give an answer to those who send us. What do you say about yourself? See, the focus is on him. And that's not how God works. He said, this is John. This is John so self-effacing, you know, like I'm nothing here. I'll decrease, he increases. He says this, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. And when I read that, and I think it's important, whether we're in full-time ministry or whether we're just doing, you know, our normal lives, but then obviously we're going to be sharing the gospel of peace and reconciliation with God. So we still need to be aware of, you know, how we touch people. And I thought the interesting part was that the Pharisees, which would be, you know, just how Satan would work, would be focusing on ourselves. This is about me. Look at my ministry. Look at what I can do. Look at, you know, we can see it in the body of Christ right now. That's the, you know, community of believers that know that they can go out and heal the sick and cast out demons and pray for people and all of that. There is a turn in the road when you start where you actually end up thinking more about you than God. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us not to even go there. So that when we start seeing people healed, or we start seeing people getting closer to God, getting closer to the Father's heart, and they start telling us things about how amazing it is what we're doing, we don't go into, yes, that's right, I am so amazing. We go into, I am a voice in the wilderness making straight the way of the Lord. So that Holy Spirit is that way of the Lord that he wants to teach. It really is like a generation. I believe it with all my being. This is a generation that is going to learn how to walk in absolute unity and oneness with Holy Spirit. So that they will not be the lost sheep in the church that doesn't know what they're doing and where they're going. And I can have anybody tell them anything, and they can listen to this teaching or this preacher or this pastor or this method or this movement, and they're taken all over the place. And I can see it. It's like, you know, the whole flock is spread everywhere. Holy Spirit is the one that leads us now. He is Jesus in us. And he gets so little recognition. And the problem with that is that Jesus sent him in his stead. So people can talk about Jesus all the time. And he's this 2,000 years ago God-man. But they don't realize he's in them. To give them every step of the way guidance. Every moment. You wake up in the morning, he's there. Okay, what are we going to do today? What's it about today, Lord? I'm open to you. Tell me. You direct my path. And that's what John was saying in there. And that's for us, to make straight the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is Holy Spirit in us. And we need to tune into him. And it's very easy. It isn't some big, long ordeal. It's simply be willing, be yielded to the Spirit of God in you. And say that to him. I'm yielded to you. I don't know how to be led by you. I don't know who you are. Teach me all of this. And he will. And
yes, he will.
He will, won't he, Lizzie? You've seen it. You've seen remarkable changes. You know, and I've seen it in Ronnie. I've seen it in Jean. You know, and Eldie and I haven't had, we only connect here and there, but I know Eldie's very open to the Spirit of God. And in fact, I feel like he wants to say this to you, Eldie. You think you're not. His heart is so tender towards you. Because I'm tearing up right now. His heart is so tender towards you, Eldie. You have no idea. Like, you've got that beautiful flower there as your little profile on Skype. That's how beautiful you are to him. Okay, you already are open to him. You just don't think you are. Okay, the enemy will tell you you're not. He's a liar. Okay, do not listen to him. Anytime the enemy comes at you, and if there's any condemnation, that's the enemy. No matter where, if it comes from a person or a book or a teaching or anything, it's the enemy. Even in a dream, it's him. It's the enemy. So if he tells you you're not good enough, or you can't listen to the Spirit, or you don't know who the Spirit is, or how silly are you that you made this mistake, you go, thank you, enemy, for reminding me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because everything you say is a lie. So just flip what he says. If he says you're no good, if he says you're never going to make it, if he says you're just so dull-headed, you're never going to hear the Spirit say, oh, you mean I'm so exceptionally tuned to the Spirit? Oh, thank you, Satan, for telling me. Just flip what he says. Because he's a liar and the father of it. So Eldie, I just really want you to know that he really wants to impart that to you today in your sweet little heart, that you are open to him. Otherwise, you could not sense him. And you do sense him very strongly. So know that sensing him is your openness. It is a acknowledgement and a evidence of your openness to him. Okay? And he wants you to know that you're very sweet. He looks at you and he thinks, oh, she's so sweet. Okay, that's how he sees you. Okay, and even though you're intellectual and you've got a really good mind and everything, and that's something he gave you, that's not what he looks at. He doesn't judge you by how smart you are. Okay, that's not his value in you, although he gave you that as a gift. His value in you is your heart in him. Okay, whom he already loves. Regardless of what you do or don't do, or whatever mistakes you may or may not make. Okay? And that's for all of us, but he specifically wants to tell you because you need to hear it. Okay? So you're his darling. That's how you look at yourself. Okay? So, and that's why Holy Spirit, because he can tell us things like this to others. I was online last night with someone from Nigeria that I've never met in my life. And it's always the best, because you've never met them, you know nothing about them, and he just starts pouring out information. That's what he wants to do with us. Holy Spirit's in us. And this person was trying to live, she was trying to live this other life, this more sophisticated life, this life where you would probably make more money. It was an area, where, you know, it isn't an area, you would not call it an altruistic area. I won't share what it was, but it's an area of a lot of self-centeredness. And that wasn't her heart at all. And he showed me what was in her heart. And I said, this is what Holy Spirit's telling me. Da, 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 da. And I said, he's telling me to encourage you, to let you know that that is from God. And this is what we can offer to other people. But first, we've got to get it ourselves. First, we've got to be with Holy Spirit in a way, and not, you know, sitting there on a mountain for 20 days or something, but just acknowledging, oh my gosh, I've got the living God, the one who made everything in me, living in me, Holy Spirit, all-inclusive, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent in me. Now, I shouldn't have any problems here with understanding or with direction or anything. And that's not a guilt trip. That's just, we don't need to walk like we're lost sheep anymore, because we're not. And we never were. As soon as we came to Jesus, we weren't lost anymore. We're saved. We even use that term. I was saved. But we have to walk in unity with Holy Spirit, which we are in unity with, but we have to actually start acting like it. Not even acting like, that's such a wrong word. Being that with him, in him, so that we're not running in all these different directions and missing what he's really doing. But he also wants, I think he really wants to impress this upon you, because all of you, in one way or another, whether you know it or not, that's why you're on here, you will be leading in some capacity in your lives, whether it's with your families, whether it's in actual ministry, you know, a ministry, you know, in a formal setting, whether it's in your work situation, whether it's in your church. You're going to be leading in some capacity. And when that happens and you start expanding, because the Holy Spirit is pouring out of you, people are going to notice. And when they notice, they are going to, not meaning to, but the enemy will use it as a plant and as a trap to focus on you. I'm seeing it happen with somebody that is an amazing preacher, and they're getting caught already in pride. They have such an amazing message. It's the message of the gospel, like the true gospel of grace. You know, you are forgiven. It is finished. Let's move on. It's that message. You already are one with him. Stop worrying about if you're going to lose it. It's that kind of message. But they're getting so many pats on the back. They're seeing so much transformation in front of their eyes that that's starting to become about them or about them fighting those that don't understand. And we can't teach grace through lack of grace. It'll never work. And the enemy wants to. He hates grace so intensely that he wants to get people who, if anyone who understands it, if they get that far, which is amazing in itself, they get that far, they really understand what grace meant, that it is finished. I am free. Now I walk in him. If they get that, he's going to try to pervert it, because that's what he does. He takes what is pure and attempts to pervert it. So the reason it's almost like a caution. And I know some of you don't even think you're even going to be in this realm, but you're wrong. He will use any surrendered heart to the utmost. And it doesn't matter what position you're in now. He doesn't look at you like that. He doesn't look at you, oh, you're only a little lady in the church, or, oh, you just, you know, drive a truck, or, oh, you're out there and whoop whoop. He doesn't look at it like that. He looks at your heart, and he knows you from the inside out. And he knows what you're capable of because he made you to be capable of that. And so as we go, this little word of caution, I don't know why he's being so strong about it, but obviously we need it because this wasn't what I was planning. As we go and we get people to, people come around us and tell us that, oh, because we prayed, you know, oh, they were healed of diabetes, and because we prayed, oh, they're having such an amazing relationship with God, and because we prayed this or that happened, that we've got to go, thank you, Lord, that I'm a part of this. And I'm witnessing your glory and your power. But I am not the source of it. And I often say this one, and I'm just going to repeat it because some of you haven't heard, probably, but maybe you have, is when I get up myself, as they say in Australia, and I start thinking I'm the bee's knees, I will notice it in my spirit, and I will say, oh, Father, please make me humble. And he laughs at me. And he looks at me and he goes, and you have a reason to be proud because, and then it's all over. And then I get humble again because I'm like, yeah, I didn't do any of this. I don't know these people thousands of miles away, and I don't know what's deep in their hearts. How am I going to know that? I don't know how to go in and get rid of cancer. He does it. He's the holy surgeon, as he's told me, you know. And he has his scalpel, his spiritual scalpel, that cuts away all that is not of love and wholeness. I don't do it. You know, I mean, who in the world, how could any one of us go in and know somebody for 5 minutes and have them crying their eyes out and suddenly feeling the presence of God and wanting to be close to the Father's heart? I mean, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's me. No problem. So we need to respect those boundaries, I think. I think that's really what he's talking about, boundaries. Spiritual boundaries, because the enemy does roam around like a roaring lion, and he's trying to get us to be so full of pride by what we see. You know, we pray for somebody and they get healed, or we pray with someone and they, you know, are filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever. He's trying to make that about us, because that's what the Pharisees did with John the Baptist. Oh, who are you? What do you say about yourself? Now, yes, they were accusing him, like, oh, you're nobody. But they also, it's also a trap. It's both. So I'm just going to look at what someone has just said. I'll pause. Exactly. Not comparing ourselves to one another. And that is one of the biggest traps. And that doesn't matter whether you're in ministry or not. You know, Christians, human beings do it all the time. And I'm watching this divisiveness in the body, in that small community. That, you know, we online community that we have, you know, it is still small, relatively small. It's not millions, you know, that we're dealing with, maybe hundreds or whatever. And they're all, look at all the groups that are already happening. I'm thinking, my goodness, we have offshoots. You know, it's like denominationalism all over again. And that's not what he's there for. He wants unity. So I'm just going to go address what you said first.
You know why he wants...
Go ahead. You go ahead.
You know why the devil wants to divide us?
You go ahead. You tell us.
Because when we come together in one accord, that's the power of Pentecost. That's the power of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
When we are together in one accord.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Yep. And you're right too, Ronnie, about Hebrews 4:10 and 11. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Talk about that, Ronnie, because I know you have something to say about that. You have an insight on that. You may not know, but when you open your mouth, you're going to get it. Okay? Can you tell us why you put that particular scripture up, Ronnie?
I just know that, you know, sometimes... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Uh-huh. Okay. Sure, okay. The reason why I put that there is a lot of times, you know, I've been myself, looking at myself, just struggling to make things happen, and I just come to that place where I realize that no, it doesn't work that way, and I don't know what else to say, to be honest with you, but it's just sometimes, you know, I've come to that place where I've kind of given up on trying to make it happen, and I sometimes still find myself doing that at times, you know, but I know that it's the place of defeat if I try to make things happen, and it's pointless.
Yes. Well, when you're
surrender.
Yeah, exactly. When this is why probably, and it is actually, I knew there was some connection, but I wasn't sure about it until you spoke. This, you know, we're having some feedback. Hang on. I think that connection there, now it's making sense to me, is what he's showing me is that the reason that where the divisiveness stems from is us trying to do it in our own effort. That's exactly it, Ronnie. And then the body gets divided because this group's going, oh, we do healing like this and you must do it like this. And this group's going, oh, how dare you? This is grace and you don't know what you're talking about. And this group says, well, we're the really special healing grace group, you know? And it's all because you're trying to do it in and of yourself. When it's all him and it's only him. And that's where humility comes in. You know, humility is one of the greatest gifts of God. And it's really important that we ask for it, like on a regular basis, because it's easy to get snagged in pride. We think we won't. We think, no, I don't even like when they talk to me and say things. Like you said, Jean, you know, it makes you feel uncomfortable when people will speak to you and say, oh, that was so wonderful what you prayed yesterday, or whatever they may say, you know, where they're praising you. And I understand what you're saying. And, but... even with that, at first you may feel uncomfortable, but do you know what will happen? Because the enemy's waiting for you to, you know, he looks for a little loophole. He looks for a little gap. And if he can see that something made you feel really good and maybe you're telling three or four people at some point down the road, and I'm not saying you're going to, I'm just saying for instance, that's a place where he'll come in. So, you know what? Humility is like a armor. That's what I found. I know it's not discussed like in that capacity in, you know, but it is. What does he say? He gives grace to the humble. Look at what you get from humility. You get grace. That's pretty amazing. And if you're proud, what is God himself resists you. Do not want to go there. And that doesn't mean he's judging you and saying you're bad and you lose salvation or any of that nonsense. What it means is you, what he wanted to do with you, you're not going to get through to. Because you're going to be he's pushing against that. He's going, no, I don't want that. Pride is not coming with you. That's got to go. So when we are humble, grace pours out from him. And it is, you know, we get grace with humility. So I think it's he's teaching me that, but it's not just for me, because we all have this. We're human beings, you know. Pride is there. It's lurking. It's the thing that the enemy uses the most. And you can see it in different ministries, you can see it in different teachings, you can see it in different movements, you can see it with different individual believers, how pride has snagged them and pulled them off this amazing path that God himself gave them. And it's a tragedy, and they need to be moved back on. But when you are so thick in pride, you will not listen to anybody until you fall on your face. And then you get to the end of yourself, and finally you go, maybe this isn't working the way it should. You know, like I'm talking to a lot of people in Africa lately, and there's this one man in the middle of nowhere where they've started an orphanage and a church. They've got 200 new believers, and they've just building a church. And I mean, it's rickety, it's dirt floor, the whole nine yards, you know? And the orphanage is pretty basic. They don't have running water, toilets, nothing. And but the heart of this man is so pure that I'm stunned when I talk with him because Holy Spirit shows me. And I'm thinking, I want that. You know, I want to have it like that. Not that I'm looking for, oh, how did I get promoted today? Or who talked about me today? Or do they agree with my opinion or my doctrine? You know, that is such a waste of time. We have such purity through the Holy Spirit in us. And we want to look in, we want to see our lives and see others from that place. So humility is like one of the things he really wants to stress today. And I don't know why he's doing it with this particular group. And I'm not saying you're all full of pride. Please don't take it like that. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, if anything, most of you would have the kind of, you'd have that false humility. And I'm not trying to criticize or judge anyone, but where you think, oh, I'm not good enough. That's a lie. Let's get over that one. You've got Jesus in you through Holy Spirit. So you're good enough. Let's get past that. You're way good enough. He died for you. You're so good enough. So we're going to go past that into the reality of you are so filled with so many treasures from God. Now, how are we going to negotiate that so we don't fall into the pit of pride? That's really where we're going. Okay, so he wants us to get off of false humility and think, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. Yes, we can do nothing without him. And yes, we can do all things through him. So there is a balance there. Like, that's why I love what Paul says, that I will boast of nothing but Christ and him crucified. And when we get the cross, that's when we will understand that walking with him in unity with the Holy Spirit is the freedom that he bought on the cross. That's really what he bought for us. It's amazing. It's so much bigger than just being forgiven. Although we had to have forgiveness first or we weren't going to go anywhere. But now that we're there, let's go past the cross. Let's walk past the cross. We're safe now. And let's let him lead us daily in that remarkable relationship that Holy Spirit is. You know, he's wanting to take us to places we've never been. He told me this week, he said, I want to take you to somewhere you've never known before. And I get scared sometimes. I mean, because that's pretty remarkable. God himself telling you that. You're like, oh, that's a bit big. I think I'll just go read a book now. Or maybe I'll go online and check my messages, rather than going, okay, so where's this place you want to take me, Lord? Let's go. And that's where I'm going now. You know, I don't know where it is, but I know it's good, because he's only good, so he's going to take me somewhere wonderful. We tend to, I think we could all admit this, I know I'll admit this, and if it's true in your lives, obviously you admit it to him and yourselves. We tend to sometimes busy ourselves or occupy ourselves, or however we want to say it, because we're actually afraid of getting so close to him. Now, the truth is, we're one with him already. We just have to become aware. But that closeness, you know, of communion with him, of being with him, really alive in the moment, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, whoever we're with, him and us and him, totally abiding, continual flow of that abiding presence, that can be overwhelming for a human being. Until we actually say, Holy Spirit, this is over. I mean, I'm serious. This is all you have to do. It is so simple. Holy Spirit is so amazing. He's this teacher that, he's like the primary school teacher, you know, first grade. It's okay, come on. Oh, I like your dress. That's lovely. Now you sit in this chair. There's your pencils. That's how he is with us when we get started. He doesn't slap, well, get sit down. Well, how come you haven't learned what you're supposed to learn yet? And smacks us across the ears. He's not like that. It's like, it's okay, it's okay. Don't be scared. Sit in, see how I have the seat? It's right near the teacher's desk. You want to sit there? He's like that when we start with him. And then as we go, we can, you know, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. And we don't need necessarily the coaxing to get close to him, because we just naturally or supernaturally are close to him. So that's what I'm finding, to allow him to absolutely possess us. You know, and I know people don't like that word because they think of the demons, but I'm talking about, I want to be possessed by God, completely consumed, so that it doesn't matter what's happening around me anymore. I'm not taken off center with him. I'm not moved from who he is and what he said. He showed me something so amazing this week. And it was, I read a devotion by Joseph Prince, and it just triggered this really deep desire to understand something, the stripes of Jesus. And as it, you know, I was reading the devotion, it was talking about the stripes, you know, it's all done, we don't have to bear it, that kind of thing. And then Holy Spirit just took me into that moment in time when Jesus was beaten so brutally that his face wasn't a face anymore, unrecognizable as a human being. And when he showed me that, it wasn't for me to feel guilty. It wasn't for me to feel, oh my gosh, Lord, you did that for me. I'm so horrible, you know, or whatever. How could you have done, you know, it wasn't any of that. He took me to it so that I could see the brutality was so extreme, and it was for a purpose that it was so extreme, because then we don't have to bear anything. None of this stuff we hold on to, pain, sickness, discouragement, failure, loss, grief, sorrow, humiliation, shame, none of it is ours. That's why it was so brutal. That's why he was turned into a bunch of mushy, you know, skin and flesh and tissue. And you couldn't even see where he had a face anymore. That's how bad it was. And when I saw that, it's the first time in my life I looked at that, because I've seen it before, but I saw it actually from that movie, The Passion, so I didn't see it in a visual way through Holy Spirit, just saw it on a screen. And I felt, I actually remember saying that when I was watching that in the big screen in Alice Springs, of all places, in the middle of the desert in Australia, and I just said, oh Lord, stop, stop, stop it, and it wasn't even as bad as what happened. We're not worth it, I'm not worth it, something like that. That's what came out of my mouth. That didn't come out of my mouth this time. What came out of my mouth is, oh my goodness, it's true. By the stripes I was healed. That's what he gave us.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And I was asking Holy Spirit to teach me that. I said, I don't get the stripes, Lord. I say it. I say the words. By his stripes they were healed. Blah, blah, blah. This one's got diabetes. This one's got cancer. This one's got arthritis. Yep, by the stripes, by the stripes, by the stripes. And it becomes like this little tag. But he went, took me in there, into that place of what it really meant. It really was that brutal so that we could be that free. Isn't that incredible? Makes me so happy. And even if we don't, this is no guilt in this, guys. No guilt. If we have something that's wrong with us, you know, it physically, I've been having a back thing that has been hitting me so hard. But so it's not like I'm going, oh, well, if you have that, you have not understood the stripes of Jesus. What's wrong with you? It's not like that. What I'm saying is when we're going to get to a place, I know it. We're going to get to a place where the stripes are so real to us that nothing can touch us. That's what he wants to give us. That reality will be, the revelation of it will be in our bones, in our flesh, and our cells, and our systems, and our organs, that nothing can be touched by it. You can't touch that. When we really, really knew that, know that. And that is, and that's right, Lizzie, that is the grace of God. And it, well, exactly. Exactly. What someone was saying, because I have to record it so that people know what I'm saying exactly to. Otherwise, they won't know. But what you just said, Ronnie, is really important in the sense that we hold on to things, but it's not. See, God right now wants to say this, and he wants to say it particularly to you, Ronnie. That is, there is no guilt in this. There is no shame in it. If something isn't going in our body, the enemy will use, once we learn that we have authority, the enemy will use that against us. That authority. I thought you had authority. What kind of a son of God are you? It's still there. You still have this condition. That's what he'll do. He'll twist it. God wants you to know right now, Ronnie, he wants to show you the revelation of the stripes of Jesus, and that thing will go like that. Not because you fought it, hit it, commanded it, and did a jig, but because you know it in your innermost being. And that's what he really wants to share. He wants us to know it. So, you know, normally when I have something that hits me, whether it's a laryngitis, I usually get laryngitis or back stuff. That's usually what the enemy goes on with me. So I've had this back thing because I injured it lifting something the other day, well, a few days ago. And it's been excruciating. I haven't been sleeping and all of that. Now, normally I'm usually will get these things at the very beginning. They don't develop and I'm okay. Not all the time, but a good percentage. This time it's been a different experience altogether. And I decided, not because I want to suffer at all, and not because God's teaching me a lesson at all, I want to get into the place of the stripes mean what they did in my body. And then even when I pray with others, like it's often easier to get others healed. It's always easier for me to get for me to pray for others and see their healing. But he wants us to know individually for ourselves as a gift of his grace that the stripes were so brutal so we could have so much freedom that we would bear none of this again. That's, and it is finished. And then he went on the cross after that and took every other thing that could separate us from God so that we don't have to worry about, oh, I had bad thoughts today. Oh, I wasn't thinking the way I should think. Oh, I haven't read the Bible in 2 weeks. And I'm not suggesting let's go out and you know, go against what God advises us or guides us to do at all. But we're not to make the cross of no effect by thinking that it's up to us to earn anything or up to us to make ourselves perfect, because in him we were perfected. We've really got to accept these things that the Word says. I think that's what he's trying to tell us. It really is true that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. And if that's not true in our lives yet, that is okay. He's not judging us for it. He wants us to learn it. Holy Spirit will teach us. All we say is, I don't understand the stripes. What do you mean, Lord? And then he will do what he did with me this week. And I'm still learning about it. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there real quick because I want it. I want to know this. And he's teaching me day by day and showing it to me so that we'll have that fullness.
Whose sins did he die for?
Pardon?
Whose sins did he die for if he didn't die for ours?
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And he didn't need a healing.
No sin became sin for us.
That's right. And he didn't need a healing. He was whole already. There's no instances of his being sick, is there?
That includes past, present, and future for us.
Exactly. Exactly. There was a scripture I saw. What was it? I think it's John 1:29. I'll check it, but I believe I'll just pause it for a moment while I check it. And all right, it's John 1:29, and it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, it's not just, I'm forgiven. It's taken away. How incredible is that? We're like, oh, I'm forgiven. Well, what does that mean? It's taken away. That's what forgiven means to God. It's gone. And he says, I will remember your iniquities no more. For as far as the east is from the west, sins are taken away. So it isn't...
His righteousness was imputed to us.
That's right.
Because he lived a perfect life in a human body.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So even, and even with, you know, in reference to the stripes again, because he just really wants to emphasize this, and I don't know what he wants to say, but he's going to say it. The stripes of Jesus were the beginning of that redemption.
There was a divine exchange.
Yep. The stripes of Jesus were the beginning of the redemption of humanity, to for us to receive healing. But that was only the beginning. When he went on the cross and took away the sin of the world, our sin, before we were born, that was why it is finished. And if we could actually walk in the reality of that truth, the freedom that we would experience and share with others would transform and turn this world upside down. He just wants us to get it and then walk in it and not be divided and not be arguing and not be espousing this doctrine is better than that and this teaching is the real one and that one isn't. All of that is nonsense, and it's just a big smoke and mirrors carnival that the enemy stirs up. And we need to stop it, at least in our own lives. We can't stop the rest of the body. We can pray for the body. We can pray for humility. We can pray for revelation. But we need, in our own lives, and I'm talking about myself as well, personally, we have to stop with all this division, all these little sections, all these little groups, all these little being loyal to this one and mocking that one. That all has to stop, because all we need to do is to get the finished work. Healing was the beginning. Taking away the sin of the world was the end. And we're the product of that. We're the fruit of that. And he wants us to have it. He wants us to have what he paid for.
When you have fervent love for one another, it even covers the misunderstandings and the differences of doctrines.
Yep, that's right. The person in Africa that runs that orphanage, their primary, I love this, their MO, modus operandi, is agape. It doesn't get better than that. How can you make a doctrine out of agape? Divine love. God's love. Unconditional love. You can't. It's just incredible. And that's where we're all headed. That's where he wants to take us. You know? And that's, you know, the other thing is, I'm just thinking of Eugene for a moment. It just popped up. Is it's not about us feeling, you know, oh, I'm not loving enough or anything like that. It's just letting us be loved by his agape. And then that agape pours out. So there's no guilt trip in it. I cannot love like that on my own. I don't even want to. You know, I mean, let's admit it. There's a selfishness that we can cater to if we want to or pander to. But with him in me, that's the only way I want to love. But it's not complete yet. It's not every person I see that pours out of. Quite a few, but not everyone. And the ones that upset me, no, I don't want to give them that. See, I want to rein it in. But he doesn't, because he took away their sin too. Even maybe their obnoxious self-righteousness. He took it. They just have to go, okay, I don't want it anymore. See, it's yours, Lord. I don't want to live in this. That's all they have to do, you know. But it's already been taken away. The sting of it is taken away for their lives. The punishment of it is taken away. But they want to live like that. Well, unfortunately, we still can do that. We still have a will to choose those things. And that's why Holy Spirit is so important, because if we surrender our will to him, we will be living in unity with God in the way that he called us to live. So that's
something that Lizzie had just said. She had a testimony about it, so did I. I saw on a prayer site, it's titled Casting Pearls Before Swine. And this woman was upset because God had given her a personal promise. And when she told people about it, they just did not agree with her. And so she said to be careful who you tell personal promises that God gives to you. And so I just responded that, you know, you can't call your brothers and sisters in Christ swine. It upset me.
Okay.
And she didn't see a thing wrong with it.
Mm.
But it's bothered me all day long.
Okay. Well, I think that's the heart of God.
Say something, Jean?
Yeah, go ahead, Ronnie.
One thing I noticed, though, I know, you know, sometimes I find, like, like different groups, different divisions, different doctrines, so many different people who say they're Christian, and some of them, you know, not gonna say they're not, they are, they're not. But I find sometimes, you know, people are criticizing what other people are saying, and I understand, you know. Sometimes, I don't know, it feels like our own opposition has a promise or something. Someone will say, oh no, that promise is, you know, that can't be true because God says this or that, or they don't agree with my doctrine. And I find that's what's going on. There's a lot of people who have mixed doctrines, different beliefs, and I think we do need to edify each other, but not destructively. You know, that's what I find a lot that's going on. It's a lot of destructive criticism.
Gene, I would tend to agree with Ronnie and you, because for you, I know what you're saying. That's the heart of God. God doesn't call his children pigs. Okay, I agree. On the other hand, in terms of people attacking people, now sometimes the problem is, you know what the real problem is? We need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And if we get a personal revelation and someone else doesn't agree with it, or you know, takes us apart or criticizes us or whatever, it is very hurtful. There's no question. And that can be a reaction to call them that. But sometimes it's that, as Ronnie said, you know, whether they are saying they're Christians or they are Christians or whatever, but they have a tendency to just attack. Their fruit is not suggesting that they know what they're doing. Okay. And it is, I know what you're saying. It is a very harsh thing to say. On the other hand, perhaps maybe not calling it swine. I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, because that's so harsh, but I would say wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. That's the best way to do it. So if we have something very personal that is really tender in us, and maybe even embryonic. I have had things that have been embryonic and I shared with other people and they trampled all over it. That's horrible. And it tends to take it away from you. Then you start to think maybe it really wasn't. You question it. You question God. And you lose where he was taking you for that moment. I mean, he'll get you back on track, but, you know.
I'm thinking that.
Go ahead, Lizzie.
And my guess is that the more we understand grace, and the more that we understand that grace is a free gift, that we encourage each other and our identity in Christ, I feel like a lot of the bitterness will vanish because we're so, like, if we try to put each other on heavy yokes, and everyone feels already pressured, and they feel like they're shorted. That's why, I guess that would be one of the main reasons people would try to discount other people's dreams, which is really sad.
It is. It is.
But they need ministry. They need prayer and love of God.
Right.
Yes, she does. I know she's hurting. I know what the promise is. You know, I know she's hurting because it's not happening like she wants it to happen. And so she's very hurt, and so I know she's lashing out.
That's okay, Jean. You see, it's a public forum. That's the problem with online, is a public forum. And so, you know, we have an emotional knee-jerk reaction, or you know, maybe it's not knee-jerk. I mean, it's genuine. And then we express it in a public forum, and it can affect a lot of people. Because it's so easy to do it, you know, all you have to do is put your fingers on your keyboard. It's pretty easy, and send away, you know, without having to think about what we're saying. You know, I think there needs to be classes in decorum online, because I've seen so many horrible things that are said. I mean, horrific.
I've had things like that happen where I read something that someone posted and I got upset.
So it can be really, you know, devastating to people when it's when it's done like that. But see, the issue is, you know what God, Holy Spirit's showing me right now? You know what he's showing me right now? He's showing me that if we went to him, this would not happen. So if there was a dream or a desire or a fulfillment or a promise that he gave us and we went to him with it and said, Lord, you're telling me this. This is so amazing. And then we said, Lord, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and it's not happening. And then we can go to him and talk to him about it. What's going on? Is it me? Is it something else that's happening? Am I supposed to, you know, combat some spiritual thing? Is it something that, you know, that you were waiting on because of some other thing that I don't understand yet? If people went to Holy Spirit, this stuff would just stop completely. And that's what he wants us to get. He is the answer. And then we won't have all these little stupid divisions. I mean, it's like being in kindergarten. I watch that stuff. I have to just get off of it. I'm going, I don't want to watch because it's just ugly. And it's not who he's called us to be. You know, it certainly doesn't dignify the Father either. But if we went to Holy Spirit, even with our pain about it, like, Lord, you said that this would be done. Or you said, because of the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And what's going on here, for crying out loud? You be that real with him. We don't have to go to our brothers and sisters. They don't have the answer. They're not going to figure it out for us. But we tend to go to human beings rather than to him. Yeah, I agree. That's a great way of saying it, Ronnie. Classes need it in the fruit of love. Absolutely. You know, by the Spirit, that is how we're going to get the fruit. You know, what does he say? Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Well, if you've got joy, peace, and righteousness, you're not going to be bickering or fighting or telling people off.
That's the point of all of this.
Mm. Yeah, exactly, exactly. But again, it always comes back to relationship with God. What's happening online, and I'm noticing it, you know, on all these different forums, whatever, you know, whether it's Facebook or any other forum, what's happening is people are just spouting off opinions. We've all done it. You know, spouting off opinions and calling it gospel. And other people are believing them. Why? Because they don't go to the Holy Spirit, who is often waving his hand going, excuse me, I'm here, look in, I'm here. Hey. I could see a picture of him today. And then he just goes, oh, I might as well take a year's coffee break. They're not going to listen. How frustrating it must be for him, living inside us. And then we run off to, you know, this person or that person or complain or, and we all do it. You know, I'm not saying I haven't done it either. Rather than going, and then he gives me the scripture today. You know, and this ties it all in. And he says, this is who you are, Jesse. And this is all of us, okay, not just me. This is who you are, you know, in John 1:23, I think it is. So I'll read it exactly word for word because I don't want to put any of my own takes on it here. And he tells us that this is who I am. Who are you, they say? Who are you? Okay. And I can say this. For me, this is for me. Now, other people need have been asked, who are you? Who do you think you are? And then you can say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not, look at me, I'm the righteousness. But that's who he said I was. So that we don't have to defend ourselves then. But this is what he's telling. This is the other thing that we need to learn. Right, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All, absolutely. But it's not something to be proud about. It's something to be thankful for. And then, this is the other side of it. So we've got the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's my identity. And then I've got this. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Because isn't it like a wilderness in all this online nonsense? It's like a wilderness. I'm like, where does anybody actually know Jesus? Could we just talk about the truth, the life, and the way instead of all of this? And then he says, make straight the way of the Lord. Guys, you're on here for a reason. There are no accidents. They're God-cidents in God. So God's sit in. You're on here for a reason because that's what we're supposed to do. Make way, make straight the way of the Lord. So he could just come in into our lives, like with our families even. You know, people in our families are resistant to the gospel. But if we're making straight the way of the Lord by grace, by agape, by walking in truth and in unity with the Holy Spirit, that's attractive. That's attractive. We won't have to fight them.
Sorry.
You go ahead, Ronnie.
I was just going to say something that came to my mind there. You know, all this division talk, people arguing back and forth and that kind of stuff. It's like people are holding on to their own doctrines of how to do things and how it done right this way. And, you know, rather than focusing on, you know, resting in Him and that part of it and surrendering to Him. I just find that that's why people get so defensive, because they're holding so tight and saying, oh, this is what I believe, and if you don't believe it, then yeah, you know, it's a big battle.
Yes. Well, do you know what God just gave me now? Holy Spirit just said, He's just said this. We're supposed to focus on who does it, not how it is done. And who does it?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost. That's who we focus on. If we start getting our focus on how it's done, no wonder we're going mad, because there is a myriad of ways of how you can do this. Yeah. Not only did He... Exactly, Lizzie. But not only did He do it that way, but He's shown me so many different ways. Holy Spirit shows me how you go into a soul. Now, I'm not going into the soul. He's doing it. He shows me how He illuminates their minds. He shows me how He restores a leg. He's doing it. I don't know how to do it. And I don't know with each one how to do it. I only know He's doing it. He's the Holy Surgeon. Well, go for it, Lord. I'm just going to let you loose. And you do it your way. That's how we're supposed to focus on who, not the how. That's the problem. And people are so caught up in method. It's not even the point. Because method itself, in and of itself, is not, that becomes an idol then. You know, the method isn't make the person whole. It's Holy Ghost who makes them whole. You know?
And
exactly. Exactly. So, and who doesn't want, truly, to live in the abiding presence of God every moment of every day? Now, even the ones that are arguing and fighting, and we've all done it to some degree as well, but say the ones who make it a profession, deep in their souls, of course they want that presence and that peace. Now, they may fight it, and we can pray for them when we see it. Because they're our brothers and sisters, whether we like them or not. They are. They're part of the body. And when that part of the body is suffering, guess what? So do we suffer. If they're going off on a tangent and ending up producing fruit that's actually hurting people, that's hurting all of us. And we need to do something about it. And if we just complain, and I've done it, you know, I will raise my hand and say, I've just complained rather than prayed. I also have prayed. But I think we really need to get concerted effort here of those of us who want the body to be complete and whole and living in righteousness. Let's just pray that for them. They get a revelation of Holy Spirit. And the reason the church is in the biggest mess that it is, one of the main reasons, I'd say the primary reason, is they do not know Holy Spirit as a person living in them. Because you would not say all kinds of critical, nasty, unrighteous, harsh things if you did. And that doesn't mean we don't do it, every time everything comes out of my mouth, it's perfect. I'm not saying that. But it would not be, we would not, if someone's living in unity with Holy Spirit, you're looking for what other people are doing, wrong or right, and liking it or disliking it or pressing the little click button, you know, or whatever it is, would not be your focus. Exactly, John. The devil is so subtle in his strategy that's why we need to be so vigilant. You're absolutely right. And we need to be vigilant with us. That's why God gave me that scripture today. I mean, it was very personal, but it's for the whole body. But make the way straight for the Lord. That's your job, Jesse. And what's the way? Jesus. And who's going to do it? Holy Spirit. Just make the way straight. That's all He's asking me to do. He says, He doesn't know, go get that person and make them whole. You take by your own hands and your own determination. He said, just make the way straight so they can get there. Just lead them to Holy Spirit so they'll know.
yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Yep, absolutely. And he's not asking for us to make it happen for anybody, including ourselves. You know what makes it happen for us? Absolute revelation of what he really did. Knowing in our bones. You know, it says we are Jesus' flesh, his bones, and his body. We are, physically. That's what it says. I think it's 1 Corinthians something. I know I've read it. And I was floored when I read it. Physically, not just spiritually.
Ephesians, it says that.
Okay, in Ephesians. So, it's, you know, you can just write that, Lizzie. That would help. And in understanding that, then we can get that his stripes that he bore and wore and was disfigured by were given over for us to not bear and endure pain and sickness and hell inside or out. So that's, I'm just getting a really strong sense to do communion with all of you. So if that's okay with you, I want to prepare for that. So I'm just going to have to go inside and get what I need, and you can get what you need.
Lift this cup.
The blood. The blood of Jesus that is the new covenant, the life covenant. The giver of life gave his blood on the cross for each one of us to be made fully reconciled to the Father. I think sometimes, Lord, we don't understand it, so we pass it by, the depth of it. But I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that again, you would not only infuse the cup with that life, the living waters of God himself, the freedom that that cup brought, the blood of Jesus, for you would infuse it in our minds and our hearts and our bodies as we take of this cup. We are so grateful. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you decided not to pass that cup. We thank you with all our beings. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, for this to be the first time in we've ever drank the blood in this way. We know it truly is his blood shed for us. And it brings absolute freedom. It is finished. For us, once and for all, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you and we drink your blood, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kuria makatiari alio moduri aliadri aliadri makatiari aliadri aliadri. You know what is so amazing about communion when we do it as truly the body and the blood? It's experiential. And there's so much negativity about experiencing God. And what he did is he did everything. Look what he did. It was physical. He physically died for us. So we could be made risen with him. It's amazing. It isn't something symbolic thing. And it isn't that we're supposed to not want to experience God. Let's just read the word and be very demure about it. And okay, well, that sounded good. Oh, yes, and this is what this really means. And let's have a dissertation on it. No, we're to experience him. Why would he come physically? Experience everything that we would be tempted from. He did all of that. And then he died physically for us to bring supernatural union. It's just incredible. I mean, just spinning my head out right now about this. So we are allowed. I'm just going to give everybody permission. This is from Holy Ghost. Experience Jesus. Experience his love. Experience the Father. Experience Holy Spirit. You have permission. You have permission to experience him fully. Absolutely freedom. You have experience. You are allowed to. He asks you, it says one of the best, well, they're all wonderful scriptures, but I love this one because it just addresses this. Ephesians 3:19, and it says, to know the love of God, oh no, the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, and the love of Christ is the cross, to know the love of Christ that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's what he wants to give. And that no, and I've said it over and over, but it's always good to re-say it if someone hasn't heard, that word no in the Greek in that scripture means experiential knowing, not head knowledge. It means union like a husband and wife. That's how he wants to be known. That's how he knows us. Most of the time our door is closed and we don't know him that way. And we wonder why we're so lonely and hurt and sad. And he's like, he's on at the door going, I'm actually here. Could anybody notice? And he's not even at the door. It's better than that. He's inside us.
And it passes knowledge.
That's right. You can't figure it out. No figuring it out here. I feel like putting a sign like, you know, men at work. No figuring out here. Like, no, it's, you know, no smoking. No figuring out. One of those big bands across it, you know. No cerebral activity. It's just not, it's not going to work. That's not how we will know him. We will know him experientially. And it's not emotionalism or you know, let me just have a goosebump situation. No, it's his living, breathing spirit is living and breathing in me, called Holy Spirit, uh-huh. The person.
That's why it's his knowledge.
Yep. And this is where he wants to take us, all of his children. All of us are meant to have that. And then how could you bicker? How could you fight about anything? What is the point? I'm doing having too much of a good time. What do I want to fight about it? And in that good time, I'm not just sitting there, oh, this is all for me. Oh, I feel so good with God. Yum, yum, yum. No, it's not like that. You're so infused with his power and his love and his spirit. You can't help but want to help others. It pours out of your very being. What are you going to do? Sit all day and just, you know, being blissful? No. Part of that amazing unity and that experience that we have with Holy Spirit, with that peace and that joy and righteousness and all of it, and the love of God, it grows as we touch others. And it doesn't make us selfish. It makes us free. And then don't you want to touch others from that place? I do. I don't want to touch others because I'm duty bound and these are the signs that, you know, that follow those who believe or, you know. Do you know what he showed me the other day? He said, what about this one? This is how they'll know you're my disciple, Jesse. If you love them. I'm like, forget about the signs. Love them. And the love will include that. Sometimes you're going to pray for people. Sometimes you're going to pray for them to be healed. But that's what he wants. They're not going to know that we're his disciples because we go and pray for people and they get healed. In fact, it says you can do that and he won't even know you. And again, it's the same knowing. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did many mighty wonders in your name. And he goes, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Same word as the Ephesians one, experientially. So he wants to experience us, and he wants us to experience him. Isn't that amazing? God of the universe. I mean, like, what, you need me? You know, come on. You know, God was in and of himself, one whole, certainly didn't need to be with us. It's incredible. It just blows me away. It's like, that's love. Did we get back?
Yes.